Well, again, I want to take a moment just to acknowledge this too. Dwight's not here, and I don't want his head to explode here. But he did a really good job on the message last week. It was so simple truth, the kind that sets you free. It was so pure, so good. And I want to acknowledge that. But not only that, for a couple of reasons. Because all 5 points that he touched at were directly related to living from the image of God. And that was the title of my message, going to be the week before that, which we preempted to pray for President Trump, for open up the pulpit, anybody who has a word, has a psalm, a hymn, whatever. And the church, I don't know about you, but that the church just breathed that day. And it was such a good service. It was such a good service that the devil got mad and sent a guy here to ruin it. But, you know, we just... People with attitudes like that who do a self-serving attitude, we just don't. You know, Paul the Apostle, he said, those guys, we don't give place to, no, not for a minute. But anyhow, he had bad seed to sow. So, but that's more evidence that we were on the right track. So anyhow, Dwight covered those 5 points, the anointing of God. How to be unstoppable, the anointing of God he talked about. He talked about the battle being in the mind. You know, if you can control your thoughts, you can control anything. And I'm going to take the if out. Control your thoughts, you will control everything. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Deal a death blow to guilt. Boy, I'll tell you something. So much of us, we are held in neutral by guilt. And if you're in neutral, God can't even steer a parked car. Praise God. Deal a death blow to guilt. Let nothing prevent you from obtaining what God has promised you. Amen. Praise God. Dwight didn't even realize this, but all those 5 points were in the message. Worded another way, but basically the same thing. So I'm thankful to the Holy Spirit for that. Living, and by the way, living from that image will open up the whole Bible to you in a brand new way. And you'll start seeing things a whole new way when that image of who you are, because that image reflects who God is. Image is everything. Not the image you put on, but the image that God has placed in you. And when you walk in humility, that's to walk confidently in the image of God. And you'll understand, when you start walking that way, when your lifestyle starts to mirror that image that's on the inside of you, the Bible will start coming alive to you. The Gospels, the book of Acts will say, well, yeah, I can do that too. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you can do that, because Jesus said you can do that. The letters of Paul and everything, and you'll find out, you can get right back to the basics, that the more you see Jesus come alive in the Gospels, the more you come to understand who you really are in the Spirit. The more the letters of Paul will open up to you, and you'll find out that the Bible is really only about two men, Adam in Jesus. I mean, look, this is so, God made it so simple it takes outside help to complicate it. The devil just does that, you know. Waters it down, stuff like that, mixes it with a little of this and a little of that. And before you know it, your faith is weak. And you're wondering, and that's when religion starts to take over. And you start to fill in where there's no power. I guess I did something wrong. By then, the devil's got you walking right the opposite way of faith, the opposite way of God. But today we're going to be talking about the image of God in you, that you are created for dominion. So let's get right into the weekly confession. Boy, he's on that thing. He's good. And let's just take a moment and renew our minds to what the Word of God really is, who it is, what it does for us. Let's declare this together. This Word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Hey, you ever meditate on those? This word is God's incorruptible. What does a seed do? It gets planted. The word of God, you hear it. It gets planted in your heart. And what else does it do? It gets planted and it starts to what? Grow. And what is that growth? It's reproducing after what? His own kind. This is where a lot of people just check out and say, Yahtzee, that's it, I'm done. You are the God kind. Excuse me, wait a second. The Lord's calling me. Oh, it's Gabriel. Can you take a message? I'll be right back. He is the messenger. That wasn't him. Somebody just walked in the back door or the whatever, and so that goes off. So we're informed. We sneak up on us. Where was I? A seed. So the word is God, right? When you hear the word, which is God, and it gets planted in your heart and it starts to reproduce who? Right. Thank you, Lynn. It starts to reproduce the life and nature and personality and fruit of God. Think of a tree. What does a tree do? It just grows. What does an oak tree produce? Acorns. And this little tiny acorn. Do you know you can look at that acorn and say, you know, you are an oak tree? You'd be right because the oak tree is in there. When you look at your heart and your life from the standpoint of the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God, you see something in there, a promise. Think of a promise of prosperity. God has promised you. He delights in the prosperity. So you can look at your life and you can look at those scriptures and you can build them into your heart and say, you know what? And you can talk to yourself. And you say, you are a prosperous person. It may not look like it. God called Joseph a prosperous man when he was in a dungeon. Prosperity is not just riches, it's knowing who you are, knowing what you have, knowing what you can do, knowing where you are seated with Christ, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named. Praise God. So in our word of the week we sent out on Wednesday, I mentioned this, and I started off by saying, the Word of God states emphatically that we were created in the image and likeness of God. That theme begins in Genesis 1 and continues throughout the Bible. We can conclude, therefore, that we were created like God in order to fellowship with God, and we were given the unique ability to function and operate the way God does, with dominion over all the earth. Amen. That's Bible. That's just as much as John 3:16 is Bible. That's Bible. That's what the Bible teaches us. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And this is the theme scripture for this series. Verse 26 says, and God said, you know, we place a high premium on what God says around here. Whatever he says, that's it. Good. If God says, don't do that, I say, okay, yuck, I don't want it. If God says, do that, say, okay, I'll do that. And then you find out what it is. You say, see, the thing is, he'll come to you and say, let me ask you to do something. And you say, what? Oh, I just, will you do what I tell you to do? Well, just tell me what it is. No, you're still not getting it. Will you do what I ask you to do? Well, why don't you tell me and then I'll just decide. That's not going to happen. You know what? He won't even tell you. There's no faith in that. What pleases him is faith. When he says, will you do something for me? Yes, what is it? Thoroughly, all my heart, I'll do it for you. Because with all his heart, he went to the cross for you. And then you get to find out what covenant is all about. How many of you know we owe him everything? Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, even Democrats. And spiritual traffic. creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the face of the earth. I put face in there. It just says upon the earth. There are things under the earth that move too, right? Under the face. Those are the pimples, I guess. Come on. Can I? Give a guy a week off, you know. Why would God create an entire species, a brand new species, to be just like him? Why would God create a brand new being that was just like him? Do you know, and as far as we know, as far as the Bible tells us, man is the only one in all of creation who has the right and the freedom to choose his words and to speak them. When God said man became a living soul in chapter 2, you know what that verse really means according to the Hebrews, the Hebrew writings? Man became a speaking spirit. He can choose his own words. He can speak his own words. God gives us a real good picture in Genesis chapter 1 about how to have dominion. God said, let there be light. God said, let the earth bring forth grass. God said, let the earth bring forth animals. Let the sea bring forth. God said. You know, not for nothing. But he could have just said once, God said, and then listed all the things that he said, but he didn't do that. He said, God said, 10 times, 10 times. He said, God said. What's he doing? He's creating a pattern. He's creating something that we can, this defines meditation. Meditating on the word of God, where you're building that word. You're mulling it over in your mind. In fact, there's a definition I wrote down to meditation and what that actually means. And it will surprise you. Definition. Okay, meditate. In the Hebrew, it's the word dagah. Dagah. And it's spelled H-A-G, but they pronounce the H as a D. Here's the definite, it means to murmur, to ponder imagination, or imagine, to mutter, roar, soar, speak, study, talk, and utter. Five times it says that meditation has to do with utterance. Three times it has to do with your mind and the cooperation of your mind. But more than that, it is speaking the word of God, speaking the word of God, speaking the word of God. And God said, and God said, he's showing us the pattern there in Genesis to how to have dominion over your mind. And, you know, you don't, you've been given dominion over the devil. You just say, get in the name of Jesus. That's, you've already been, he's a defeated rat. I mean, he is a defeated foe. He has been absolutely clobbered, defanged and declawed by Jesus himself. And he has been judged forever in the highest court in existence. He doesn't have any right to, into your life whatsoever. That's what Jesus, Jesus said, man, I saw him fall like lightning. I mean, he's done. He's cooked. His eternity is sealed forever. There is no redemption for the devil. Look at history. Look at the 6 million Jews in those concentrations. That's the work of the devil. He is beyond redemption. He wouldn't even want to be redeemed. I mean, heaven to a sinner would be hell. Heaven to the devil would be an absolute nightmare. So there is no redemption for him. But here's what I'm getting at. The pattern is God created you in his own image and after his likeness. And God has said to you, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. That's the kind of spot your car, you know. Over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God said, God created man. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. This gives us the outline. God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. And then what did God, and then it says, and then God saw that everything he made was good. What did he see? He saw what he said. You know, your life is the sum total of your talking. Your words have produced the situation that you're in now, the problems that you have, the victory, whatever it is, everything is done by your own words. Why? Because you were created just like God. And God had what he said. It was good. Now, that may not seem like good news to some of you if you're really in a bad place. But it really is good news. Because if you're the one that got you in that situation by your own words, and you're the ones that can get you out. Are you there today? If you were in jail and I gave you a key, would you just say, yeah, that's good? If you were on death row, and we are all on death row here as far as physical death, but if I handed you the key to get out of that, you would be doing backflips. And you would be erupting with joy. Yes. Because free. This is what Jesus did. He said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in, whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And if any of you, any two of you agree on anything, I'll do it. God said that to me one time. It was good. All right. Why would God create a species of being in his very own image and likeness? It's so you could think like God thinks. Is God limited? No. Then why do you limit your thinking? Well, I mean, we've got to be logical. We've got to have wisdom here. Well, yeah, but wisdom will tell you to believe God. And wisdom will tell you to get the limits off of your mind, get the limits off of your... But the only way that's going to happen is if you start changing your words. Talk, you know, I'll tell you what, Carly Terides, who was here Wednesday night for Healing University? Divine Healing has everything to do with your words. She nailed it. Man, she was good. So you can think like God, so you can imagine like God, so that you can speak like God. I don't know if you ever realize this, but we are the only people. We are the only ones in the universe created like God. The angels weren't created like God. They can't choose their own. They can only speak what God tells them to speak. They can't choose their own words. You can. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's not the power of life and death. Look at them as inanimate objects for a moment. The power is in the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are, but without your tongue, none of that's activated. So you can get the laws of life and blessing and power and strength and glory, those laws that work in the kingdom of God, you can get those working in your life by speaking what God's word. This is his gift to us, his word. It tells us how to operate in the blessing. The whole Sermon on the Mount is about operating in the blessing. Here's how you operate in the blessed be the merciful, blessed be those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, I was hungry for that. I must have searched for righteousness 15 minutes last week. No, you got to seek it with all your heart. These are realities. This is something that you've got to understand. It's big. It's big. It's big. It's big. It's big. And the universe is still expanding at the speed of light because God said, light be. When you speak, do you know how far your words can go? You're like God. As he is, so are you in this world. You have his mantle of authority. You have his blessing on your life. You have his own peace to stop the storms from going on. But you got to release it and say, peace, be still. The faith of God is voice activated. His blessing is voice activated. His healing power is activated. His deliverance from addictions and from everything else, the problems, it's all voice activated. You've got to speak it. Are you telling me I don't have faith? No, I wouldn't say that. But you can have faith. But having faith and believing that you receive from God are two different things. There is a dead faith. James said that. He said there is a faith that is dead. What is that kind of faith? That's a faith that sits in here and does nothing. Be not deceived, O man. Faith without actions, faith without works, is dead, being alone. In other words, faith works through something. Faith works through love. Faith works through patience. Faith works through your mouth. Confession is made unto salvation and all the benefits of salvation. You confess, I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive my deliverance. I believe I receive my provision. I believe I receive preservation of all the things that God has called me to do. God preserves those. Whew. Let me catch up to where I was supposed to be. Let's turn. Let's get back to the image here. You've got to understand something. Your spirit, when you were born again, Paul called it the circumcision of the circumcision of the spirit. There was something that was stamped, etched into your spirit to identify who and whose you are. Who you are a new creation. The devil sees that on your spirit. He sees that. But he doesn't know if you believe it or not. But when you speak, then he knows if you believe it or not. Because he can't read your mind. He can't read your thoughts. He can't do that. He's an outside spirit. He's a dead spirit. He is death. And he has no wisdom. He has no understanding. He is total darkness. All he knows is what he wants to do. And all he wants to do is for people to be oppressed enough to worship him. He wants God's worship. What rightfully belongs to God, he wants to do that. So he wants to rule over all this world. And you know what? When we leave here, you can say, devil, you can have it. When we leave this world, I'm telling you something. It's good. That's it. I'm gone. That's what death is to the believer. Because if you're born again, you've done all the dying you're ever going to do. You don't have to be afraid of death. Jesus showed us that. He showed us there's a lot more than this life. Amen. Praise God. So that's you are etched in your spirit. You are identified by God. You are identified by angels. They know who you are. God knows who you are. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, everybody, they know who you are. Everybody, and the devil and the demons know who you are. When you know who you are, they're in trouble. So they will do everything they can to take this word and steal it out of your heart. They'll try to get you to reason. Well, that can't all be true. I mean, I couldn't, maybe I'm a little like God. What? You are just like God. You are not God. But you are just like God. His image is in you. An image is a reflection. Let me go into this word image. In the Old Testament, it's the word, I can't pronounce it, tzachlem. Tzachlem. And it appears 17 times. And it comes from a root word meaning to shade, implying a representative figure. Like if somebody, if you are casting a shadow, that means you are there. It's implying that somebody's there. So it's a representative figure, someone who represents another. This is where I believe, turn 2 Corinthians 5:20. This is where Paul got this revelation about knowing what that image on the inside of us is. It makes us ambassadors for Christ. It means this, one who represents another, implying a representative figure, someone who represents another. I believe this is where Paul got this. Now, you know what an ambassador is? An ambassador goes into a foreign country representing everything that this country is, that he came from, that he's ambassador of, and he's an ambassador to this other country. So whatever he says, he carries the full weight and authority of that country that he represents. This is why we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent everything that the kingdom of heaven is about. Everything that God is about, the heart of God, everything he completed on that cross when he rose from the dead and released the power that destroyed the principalities and powers of this world and all of the power of the devil and undid all the works of the devil all the way back to Adam. You've got to understand how free you really are. There's no trace of your sin. There's no trace of your past. There's no trace of your failures. There's not even a smidgen. It's been deleted in the banks of heaven. I'm sorry I get carried away on these things. But you're an ambassador for Christ. And you know what an ambassador has? It's something called diplomatic immunity. So that even if you did something wrong in that nation, they can't touch you. Even if you do something wrong in this earth, the devil has no right to touch you. He has no right to come on you in any way, shape, or form. You're an ambassador for Christ with all of heaven in back of you to do whatever you say. A good example of that is Elijah or Elisha when he's surrounded by the Syrian army. And Gehazi goes out and he whips out the door and it's like, wow! And he goes back in and he says, they're surrounded. And Elijah said, it's not a big deal. He said, what are you talking about? We are surrounded by the Syrian army. They are after your head. He said, well, Gehazi, more are they who be with us than be with them. And Gehazi is saying, I know this guy's been eating weed. He's out to lunch. What? And Elisha prayed and said, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he saw the hills round about Elijah, that they were filled with chariots of fire, ready to do whatever Elijah said. Angels are waiting for you to open your mouth so that they can go do things. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, my angels, I'll confess you before the angels and they'll go take care of it. Look, you have more with you than anybody. Any Antichrist, any Kamala, any of these destroyers of a nation. I mean, look what she did. Look, her record speaks for itself. San Francisco is a beautiful city until she became the prosecutor that it is a garbage heap now. And she'll do the same thing with this nation. Hey! Teshlem. You're an ambassador for Christ. Oh, look. When you were born again, you became a new wineskin. So you can carry the true wine, which is who? Jesus. This is how we share the wine of heaven, by knowing who we are and wearing that authority, wearing that mantle, and walking in the dominion that he gave us. So, look, this is why he says, we pray you in Christ's stead. We ask you, be reconciled to God. There's nothing holding you back. Nothing holding people back from coming to Jesus. It's such a free gift, such a powerful gift. All right, let's move on because we've got 8 minutes. In Greek, listen to this. The word image in Greek is the word icon, E-I-K-O-N. It's where we get the word I-C-O-N, icon. And icon has a lot of different, it's a picture, it's a person, or thing that represents or symbolizes a belief, a nation, a community, a major corporation, a cultural movement. An icon is also used as a business logo for business branding to associate a corporation with its product or with its services. So in order to fulfill your life, listen, you... You know, if a major corporation has an icon identifying who they are, what they do, and everything, and his image is etched in you, that icon image is etched in you, you have God's personal authority. This is God saying, this is me. This is me. You're not me, but this image on the inside of you, this icon, this Techlem, this ambassadorship, this representative of everything that I am, this is who you are. That is what you can do. That is all that you have going for you and moving for you, backed by the kingdom of God itself. This, see, this is the kind of truth that'll make you free. And say, yeah, devil, yeah, addiction, yeah, you know, lack and shortage and everything. I call it in the name of Jesus. I have given, now I receive. I operate not in just the law of giving. I operate in the law of giving and receiving. Seed time and harvest. Why would I plant something? Why would a farmer plant anything if he wasn't expecting a crop? Take God at his word and don't get so religious over it. Peace. Did Jesus say that? Give, and it shall what? Okay, well, people hear that and they say, they forget about the image inside and they say, well, what are you trying to get out of me? Mm-mm. The same thing Jesus tried to get out of you. He's trying to give you an opportunity, and the only opportunity that he can get in, you know, if you go to New York City down to the piers, if the piers are filled with ships, no new ships are getting in. No provision. You got to send that ship out in order to get a new one in. And this old ones, you know, how many times have you held on to something thinking that it would help you for the rainy day? And by the time the rainy day gets there, that money's gone. If you put it in God's hand, see, this is why the kingdom of God is a real thing. It operates on real spiritual principles, spiritual laws. Like in the physical, we have gravity, electricity, on all these laws. In the kingdom of God operates on these laws of seed time and harvest. Sowing and reaping. This is operating, and it's a whole different process than the world. I'm telling you something, God's system of seed time and harvest, giving and receiving, sowing and reaping, that is such a far superior plan than the world's plan. Because you know why? If you have money in a bank account, that's all you got. It's seed sitting on the shelf. It'll get a little interest, but if you have it in the bank, the interest they give you will only be lost at tax time because the tax bracket is higher than the interest they're paying.
Yeah, that's right.
Even my lightning fast mind can figure that out. It's a guaranteed loss. CDs, guaranteed loss. Right? Scott? Scott's a financial planner, so he can tell you. I'll give you his number later. Anyhow, do you get the idea about you were created for dominion? You were created for dominion. Operate in the kingdom principles and your dominion will just flow to, you'll be able to see that dominion for what it's worth. You'll be able to understand and operate and execute what God, be a doer of the word. When you're doer of the word, you will be blessed in your deed, the Bible says. Yes. Doer of the word and not a hearer only, because if you're just hearing this and not doing it, you're deceiving yourself, the Bible says. The devil didn't even have, he doesn't even have to try to deceive you. The devil's not your problem. The problem is you're not doing the word and you're deceiving yourself. There's a lot of places in the Bible. It says that in 1 John chapter 7, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So look, I mean, you see me up here and say, man, he's got something going for him. Well, no, the reason I have something is God gave me, for you to understand who you are. Don't think that this is just, yeah, okay. I've been walking with the Lord now. I got born again 49 years and 8 days ago. But who's counting? But it will be 8 days at 8 o'clock tonight. 7 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. I was born again. July 20th, 1975. 25 years. Yes, way before, back in the 1900s, huh? No, 1975. I was born again, 8 o'clock in the evening. And you say, well, man, look, the only reason I'm here. I mean, you can ask her. She'll tell you. I got faults just as much as anybody else. I got shortcomings just as much as anybody else. I'm not some big cheese. I don't pretend to be. But I get lit about the Word of God because the Word of God is not just for me. Paul didn't get his revelation for himself. He got it for the church. He got it for you. The prayers that are in those letters are for you to pray, to receive and get revelation and wisdom and understanding, get flooded with light. You know why? Because it's the only way you're going to be able to walk in the dominion that God gave you and really truly enjoy. See, this is living life in the God lane. Living life in the power lane. Living life in the covenant lane. Living God, living the righteous life. The life that has blessed. It's not just, it's real joy. Amen. It's real peace. Amen. It's real love. Amen. Love that has a trust factor to it that nothing else does. Jesus trusted his Father. And we can trust Jesus. And we can trust the Father. I mean, he's given you the book. So you can know his will and everything. And he's not only given you the book. He gave you the author of the book to live inside you 24/7, 365 and a quarter days a year. To give you and to bring to remembrance in real time what you need and how to use it at the right time. The Spirit of wisdom will show up. He is the teacher. He is the empowerer. Praise God. Just thank Dwight for that message last week. Praise God. I'm still running on that. That was a good message. I feel good about having a church where we can all just participate. And it can breathe like the body it is. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you, Father, for your word. Your word is dynamite. Your word is dunamis. Your spirit is power to us in life. We taste and see that you are good. We thank you, Father, for the milk and the meat of the word today. We thank you, Father. I just pray, Father, this go down and root itself and start bringing forth fruit after his own kind. You know, it's occurring to me now, if you're discouraged because you got a lot of fruit in your life that is not good, if you've got a lot of because of mistakes or because of anything else, and you may feel discouraged and you'll get there someday and no. If you've got a rotten tree in your life, or five of them, or ten of them, Jesus already taught you how to get rid of dead trees. He said, "He's what did he do?" Okay. Nice suggestion. But if you got some dead trees, Jesus told you how to get rid of those trees, how to get them plucked up by the root. You speak to them. He said that in Mark chapter 11, verse 20. It says, no man eat of you forever. He cursed the fig tree. And the next day when they walked by it, Peter said, Master, look, I mean, the tree you cursed, it's all withered up. And Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And then the next three words, four words, he said, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when praying, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. It's all about God said, God said, God said. When you start saying what God said and saying what God, you'll see what God saw. You'll see a new life. You'll see trees that are uprooted, and you'll see the good plants, the good bushes, the good trees that are producing 30, 60, and 100 fold. You'll have a forest of blessing. You'll have gardens of blessing. You'll have gardens of healing and health and medicine to all your flesh. It's all in the word of God. My son, attend unto my word. I'm trying to get more of this into your head. I wish I could just cram it in there, what I'm seeing right now. But just take it on faith and know that there's more to this than you can see, more to this than you can understand, but it is revealed by the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return to you void or empty, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. Thank you, Father. It will accomplish what pleases you, and it will fulfill your purpose in our life. Your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus is here.
Jesus is
near.
I'm free from fear.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Boy, write that one down. That just came to me. Jesus is here. Jesus is near. I am free from fear. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. There's refreshments in the cafe for us. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up. and will agree with you. And Jesus said, if any two on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father. Praise God. So avail yourself of that. God bless you.